1 John chapter number 5, verse 11, verse 12, and verse number 13. Verse 11, verse 12, and verse number 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the reading of your scripture. And now, dear God, as it's preached, I pray, Lord, that you'd help this preacher. Lord, I ask, dear God, you fill me, please, with your spirit right now. Lord, I want to be surrendered to you. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would, Lord, calm the spirit of the service, Lord. May there be a hedge, dear Lord, built around our church now, dear God. Banish, Lord, the spirits of the devils that would like to distract people from what they're about to hear. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. I'd love for you to just take over this service, God. Just come in power, dear God. We want you. We invite you. Lord, we pray if there's one here that's never been saved, that today would be the day of salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, a no-so salvation, a no-so salvation. Now, that means that I want to make this statement. First of all, God wants you to know, wants you to 100% know that you have eternal life. God wants you to 100% know that you're saved. God wants you to 100% know that you're on your way to heaven. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and there's a lot of even churches that would tell you that you cannot know that you have eternal life. And it's interesting that we read these words in verse number 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Now, if a man says you can't know, and then I open the Bible and it says you can know, then I say, let God be true and every man a liar. We have young people that every single Wednesday go soul winning, and we take them to the different areas. If you live anywhere in this area, sometime probably somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, an adult or a teenager, have knocked on your door, and maybe you were home and maybe you weren't. And maybe you came home and there's a gospel tract stuck in the door from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We took our young people here recently over towards Worthington, Indiana, and we were visiting Worthington. And you know what? We ran into people that attend a church over there. By the way, this was shocking to me. They all were members of a Baptist church in Worthington. And I'm not saying they were all at one house. As we were visiting, we kept running into members of this particular Baptist church. And when our young people would ask the question, do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? They must have heard us, knew that we were coming. They must have had us knock on their door before, because they discussed it and they all had the same answer. They were rebuking our young people, saying that's a terrible question to ask. Nobody can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. Now, I would expect that from certain denominations, because I know what other denominations teach, but I'm shocked that there's a Baptist church in our area, a Baptist church, that doesn't know enough of the Bible to know that you can know that you're on your way to heaven. And so, listen, let me say this. I don't care what anybody else says. Look down at verse number 13. I'm not asking you to believe Jerry Ross. I'm not asking you to believe Baptist doctrine. I'm saying, does the Bible say that these things are written, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God? Now, listen, if God says that you can know, then you can know. You can line up a million people. You can get all 360 million Americans to stand up and say at the same time, scream to heaven, you can't know, but you know what? God's word is more powerful than their opinion. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, what I want to say is this. God wants you to know that you're saved. God wants you to know whether or not you're on your way to heaven. God doesn't want you to lay your head on your pillow at night and wonder and worry and think to yourself, maybe you had a close call in recent weeks where maybe there was an incident in the car, and maybe you were close to having an accident or had an accident. Maybe there was a doctor's appointment that gave you pause and you had to have some tests, and you begin to think on about what happens on the other side of this life. And, you know, from time to time, God brings things into our lives to get us to think about eternity. I think one of the reasons that funerals are so poorly attended in this day and age is because most Americans don't want to go anywhere that reminds them of death. But I promise you, folks, nobody in this room knows anybody that's 120 years old. And you know what? If the Lord Jesus tarries, there'll all come a day where we all die. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. But listen, you don't have to worry and you don't have to wonder what's going to happen on that day. You can know that you have eternal life. So God wants you to know that you are saved. A person can only get saved one time. If we were to take everybody in this room, I probably can divide them into three groups here, all right? So I want you to think, just think to yourself, as he describes these groups, which group am I in? Number one, there's a group of people here, I know there are, that know, I mean, preacher, listen, I'm not wondering. I can show you from the Bible how I know, why I know, but I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm a child of God. I know that if I died, I'd go to heaven today. They have that full assurance based on the Word of God, and there's that group of people. There's another group here that says, preacher, I think I'm saved, or I'm not sure if I'm saved, or I might be saved, but maybe you worry about it, and you're doubting it from time to time, and you're wondering if we're talking about the same thing. And if I was to say, well, give me a Bible reason why you know you're going to heaven, you say, I don't know if I could, but I think I am. So there's the, I know I am. There's the, I think I am. And then over here, there's the people, I'm going to call them the, I know I ain't. All right? I know I ain't. All right? I mean, preacher, I'm not going to pretend. I mean, I think I know enough about the Bible to know what being saved means. And I know that you have to be saved to go to heaven. And I'm not going to, listen, I'm not going to try to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. I'm not going to try to, you know, say something, be something I'm not. I'll be honest with you, preacher. If I died right now, I'm not saved. And so I know I ain't, or I think I am, or I know I am. Now, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like, and I think this is the heart of God this morning. Let me tell you what God wants. God would like to take everybody in this group this morning, and by the time you leave here, he wants to bring you over into this group. Okay? But he's not going to make you. He gave you a free will. You have to make a decision. But I'm telling you that the heart of God looks down to these people, and it's a heart of love, and he wants you to know how much he loves you and what he did so that you can know that you're on your way to heaven. You know what? I think the Lord would like to take this middle group and say, you know what? You're confused. You're wondering. You're doubting. You don't know why. You don't know for sure if you are. You don't know for sure if you, I think I am saved, preacher. He wants to move you all the way over here so that you know whether or not you're saved. Now, listen, if you're right here and you say, preacher, I honestly, I'm not sure if I am or I'm not. Well, let me tell you this, okay? You either, even if you're in this group, you're either saved or you're not. Now, you may be saved and just have doubts, or you may be deceived into thinking that you're saved and you're really not. Maybe you're looking back at a time where you joined a church and you say, well, I'm saved because I joined a church. Well, guess what? Whether you realize it or not, you're lost. Because salvation is not because of church membership. Well, preacher, there was a day when I got baptized. Well, that's good. But you know what? If you were lost when you got baptized, you just went into the baptistry, a dry, lost sinner, and came out of the baptistry, a wet, sopping wet sinner, but you're not, listen, baptism doesn't save somebody. Well, preacher, I think I'll probably go to heaven because, see, what I try to do is I'm trying to do more good than bad, and I think one of these days that, you know, when God weighs it all out, and by the way, there's some people that I know that go to church and claim to be Christian, and I'm a better person than they are, so surely, wait a minute, you know what, whether you realize it or not, you're not there, you're over here. Because you know what, our works, our good works do not get us to heaven. All right, because No matter how good we try to be, we still have this problem. Well, it's called sin. And you know what? There's a perfect heaven. And if God let sin into heaven, it wouldn't be a perfect place. And so our sin, something has to be done with our sins. And so we want to get this group. Preacher, I know. I'm not saying, boy, I hope by the end of the service that you'll leave here being able to say, I know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I might be, and I don't know for sure if I am. I hope we can get all of you over here today into this group. Say, preacher, I know, based on the Bible, not by because of what Jerry Ross said, but based on the Word of God, based on the Bible, I know for sure if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. You can have a no-so salvation. You know what? A lot of times it's not just visitors. Sometimes there's people that have sat in church for years and they've just battled this off and on. I don't know for sure if I am. I don't know. You know, I don't know, preacher. I just don't know. Well, listen, I want to help you. I was preaching in Rhode Island at Paul Chapman's church here a couple years ago, and I was preaching a spring revival. And after the service, two different church members, I mean people that have been there for a while, one at the front of the church stopped me and said, preacher, can I ask you a question? I've been a member here. I've been here a long time. I don't know if I fight doubts. I don't know for sure whether or not I'm saved. I sat down on the front pew with them, and you know what I did? I went over five things, and I said, I'm going to talk to you about five things. And at the end of me talking to you about these five things, I think you're going to know whether or not you're saved or not. I talked to that lady, and you know what? Went through these five things. Took me about 4 or 5 minutes. I think I might take a little longer this morning, but it took me about 4 or 5 minutes. Okay, and you know what? She looked at me at the end of that and said, preacher, I know I'm saved. I got up, shook her hand. I didn't get halfway down the aisle. There was another person, a man, and he stopped me and said, preacher, he said, I've been coming to this church for some time. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I sat down again. I went over these five things. You know what he said to me after I got done? He said, preacher, I'm not saved. And he bowed his head and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, folks, listen to me. The devil can deceive you if you're not careful. He'd like to give you a false sense of security. Oh, surely I'm all right. And surely it's not that big a deal. And surely God's not going to send people to hell. Well, you better read this King James Holy Bible, because me and you aren't talking about the same God. And by the way, it's not God that sends somebody to hell. It's your sins that sends you to hell. And you know what? God's made it so that you have to walk over the top of his love, trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ in order to go to hell. He's done everything to provide salvation, but he won't make you be saved. You have to make that decision. Sometimes in the time frame, on that timeline, between the day that you're born and the day that you die, there's got to be a time. We put it on the sign out there. Jesus said, you must be born again. Preacher, what are these five things? What are you talking about here? All right, I want you, and especially if you're in this middle group here, I want you to go through these five things with me. By the way, if you're over here and you say, preacher, I'm not going to play games. I'm not going to pretend. I mean, I'm here, but I'm not saved. I want you to listen very carefully and see if these five things, that God would do them in your life today so that you can be saved, all right? For those of you that are here, I want you to go back and I want you to find the time and place. Now, you may not know the exact date or the exact minute or the exact second, but you know what? Listen to me. If I went to Greencastle Hospital and I had them do a little research and looking around, they could produce a birth certificate that would give you the exact day and the date and the time that Jerry Ross was born physically. Well, you know what? It was at a certain place and it was at a certain time. You know what? You may not be able to give me the exact time, but in your mind, you ought to be able to go back to a place and a time and say, preacher, that's where I believe I've gotten saved. That's what I'm looking at. I want you to look at that time in your mind as we go through quickly this morning these five things. God wants you to have a no-so salvation, all right? Number one, let me go through them this morning. When you got saved, or when you look back at that moment, number one, did you experience Holy Spirit conviction? Holy Spirit conviction. John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's very interesting. You know what? When Jesus ascended to heaven, by the way, I want to teach you something so you'll know. If you're going to know that you're saved, you have to understand some things about the Bible, okay? You know what? God is a Trinity. One God who expresses himself to us in three distinct personalities. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was God the Son. When he left and ended up going, ascended up to heaven, he sent the Spirit of God, God the Spirit, to come down and minister on this earth in his absence. Now listen very carefully. When he said that he would send him, he said the Spirit, as the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now that's very interesting. Listen, why do you need to go to a church where they preach against sin? Because that gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. Why should you go to a church that preaches about a perfect God and the righteousness of God? Because that gives you something to compare your sinfulness to. Now you think about that. He's going to reprove us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So you know what he does? He comes and he shows us the sin of man. And by the way, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he begins to convict us of that sin. Now, what is conviction, preacher? Well, if you felt it, you know what I'm talking about. You also know it's challenging to describe it. But you know what? You come to a service like this, we sing some songs, we shake some hands, preacher gets up and starts preaching, and you know what? You've heard speeches, and you've watched TV, and you've listened to State of the Union addresses, and you've listened over your lifetime to hundreds of men talk about hundreds of things, and yet you come to church and somebody starts preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden something starts happening inside of you that has never happened before. And all of a sudden there is this, I call it a holy unrest. And God begins to stir your heart, and the Holy Spirit begins to convict your heart over this matter of being lost, not being ready to face God, not being saved. And he does that by exposing us to our sinfulness. So first of all, the Holy Spirit shows us our sin, and then he shows us God's righteousness. Okay, he's going to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you know what? That's why we ought to preach on sin, righteousness, and judgment. I mean, the more we preach on that, the better chance we got of God having something to work with. If you go to a church and they never preach against sin, never preach on the righteousness and the holiness of God, and never preach on hell, how's people going to get saved? This Joel Osteen nonsense isn't getting anybody saved. This progressive church rock and roll stuff isn't getting anybody saved. So you know what? We preach on sin. And by the way, for all of sin. Listen, I'm not talking down to you. I'm talking across from you, across to you, because you're listening to a sinner preach on sin. We're all sinners. Nobody's born saved. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And you know what? We can try to make excuses for it. We can try to find somebody that's worse than us so that we can feel good about ourselves. But at the end of the day, we've got to say, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. And my sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If I take the best of the best of the best that I can be and put it beside the righteousness of God, I fall short, and not just a little short, a lot short of the glory of God. And so you know what? The Holy Spirit will talk to you about your sin, and then he'll compare it to the righteousness of God, and then that takes us to the only place we can go, and that's judgment. Okay, if I have to be as righteous as God to go to heaven, and I know I'm not, then I know where I'm heading, and that's not a good thing. That's not good news. But there is good news. There's something called the gospel. And that gospel story, that good news, tells us how we can be sinners and yet have those sins forgiven, and not just our sins forgiven, but to have put on our record the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that qualifies us to be ready for heaven. Listen, I don't want you to think it's a prideful thing for me to stand up here and say, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. There's no pride in that. It's not because of who I am or what I've done. You know what? It's because of what Jesus did for me. in dying for my sins and shedding his blood and offering me forgiveness and offering me a chance to be adopted into the family of God. So the first thing, as you're thinking back to the day that you got saved, the first thing you ought to think about, and you know what, man, I turned 55. And I was saved when I was 5 years old. So I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. I got saved 50 years ago. Now, you think of those of you 55 and older. Think about how clear your memories are, what few you have left, of when you were 5 years old. I can't tell you a lot about the church. I couldn't tell you the color of the paint of the wall. I'm not sure I could describe the pulpit. I'm not sure I remember the faces of a lot of people that were there. I was very young. But isn't it interesting? The one thing I've never forgot about that day, Brother Joe, is the conviction of God on my life. I think there's some things that happen that you just are not going to forget about. You're just not going to forget about, okay? And so you have to, first of all, look back and say, all right, the day I got saved was their conviction. I've had people come and tell me, you know what? I was sitting in a youth revival or in a vacation Bible school or Sunday school. Some of my friends went forward to get saved. I thought, well, if they're going, I might as well go. You know, just follow the crowd. But I wasn't convicted over anything. Then you didn't get saved. If there's no conviction, there's no salvation. Okay, if you were just following the crowd and I'll just say the words they said and we'll all get saved, that's not. Listen, there's, number one, there's got to be Holy Spirit conviction. Number two, there has to be the drawing of the Father. Now, it's very interesting how the whole Trinity is focused and involved in bringing somebody to salvation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, reproves us of our sin, compares it to God's righteousness, and scares us with judgment. And by the way, that's all right. You ought to be scared. That's called the fear of the Lord. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. And you know what? So that's what we preach. Now, what's the second thing? The drawing of the Father. I'm sitting on the front row in Rhode Island, and I'm talking to this lady. I'm sitting halfway back talking to a man. You know what I'm telling them? First of all, the day that you say you got saved, were you convicted of your sin? Number two, did you feel the drawing of the Father? Now, I'll be honest with you. These two, sometimes it's hard to separate these two because they're working simultaneously. The Holy Spirit's convicting us of our sin and basically getting us to the point where we know we're lost. And the Father is drawing us, saying, hey, you can be saved. Now, again, Brother Joe, there's a lot of things I don't remember about the day I got saved. But I remember that there was something inside of me that I was like holding onto the pew to not go forward. There was a drawing power. It wasn't like God just saying, he wasn't just condemning me, you're lost. It was the Father saying, yes, you are, but I want you to be saved. I want you to know I love you. And it's amazing that the conviction of the Holy Spirit works simultaneously with the great love of the Father that says, come to me. I want you. I want to forgive you. I want to make you one of my children. And so Jesus says very clearly in John chapter number 6, verse 43 and 44, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we have the drawing of the Father. By the way, those of you that are over right here, preacher, I came in here, and you know what? I know that I'm not saved. Let me ask you this. Are you feeling something you've never felt before? You know, you're preaching against sin, preacher. I mean, I know I'm feeling it in my heart. I am that sinner. You also, isn't it interesting how simultaneously to that, there's an urging of the Father to do something about that? Do you think that I've got any kind of magical powers? Do you think that just the words of a man standing up here talking can create that kind of supernatural activity into the heart of a person? That's impossible. But what is happening is God is taking the preaching of his word and energizing it and working in your heart because he wants you to be saved. Quickly, number three, an understanding of who Jesus is. Now, it's very interesting. In 1 John, we're there, chapter 5. If you want to go back to 1 John chapter number 2, 1 John chapter number 2, let's look at verse number 22 and 23. Notice this. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son.
Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now there's, let me just quickly say this. There's a lot of false teaching about who Jesus is and who he was. Some people say, well, he was a good person. If you trust in a Jesus who you only think was a good person, you can't be saved. Well, I just think that he was a good teacher. He was a good man. Listen, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son. You have to believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Go to chapter number 4 of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 4. Look at verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Now listen, there's something very definite in this book that really is a book designed to solidify the salvation of the convert. And he said this, you know what? By the way, be careful of the Mormons that come knocking on your door. Be careful of the JFWs, Jehovah False Witnesses, that come knocking on your door. They do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that he is the Son of God and God the Son. You be careful of them. Okay, I've witnessed to them. I went through the plan of salvation with a Jehovah Witness. A young lady was raised a Jehovah Witness. Now an adult lady no longer comes to the church. And you know what? I went through the plan of salvation. When we got to the end, I said, do you believe that you're a sinner? I do. Do you believe that if you died in your sins, you'd go to hell? I do. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for your sins? I do. Do you believe that Jesus is not only God the Son, but the Son of God? And she stopped and looked at me and says, I don't believe that. And I closed my Bible and I said, ma'am, until you by faith choose to believe that, you cannot be saved. Jesus was virgin born. You know why? Because he was not the product of a human conception. He was taken as the Son of God by the Holy Spirit and placed in the womb of a young Jewish virgin girl. And you know what? He was born like no one was ever born before. He lived like nobody's ever lived before. Not one time did he ever sin. He was all God and all man, and he died on an old rugged cross. I want you to get this. Listen, Jesus didn't send some third or fourth or fifth class angel to come down and die for you. He sent his own son. He sent a member of the triune God to die for you. Listen, what I'm trying to explain is how much God loved you and loved me. That's how much he loved you. He sent the best, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the best for you. You have to understand who Jesus is. Number four, you have to understand the gospel. Now watch this, because the gospel is very simple. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Well, if it's the power of God unto salvation, then you know what? We've got to understand it in order to be saved. 1 Corinthians 15, the first four verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So you can't be saved without understanding the gospel. We're not done. It's going to explain what it is. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Here's the gospel. How that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You know what? You had to have understood the gospel. Aren't you glad that children can be saved? Amen. See, I go back and remember when I was 5 years old, and I think to myself, thank you, Lord, that I could understand and I can remember conviction of God upon my life, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that I felt the overwhelming love of God drawing me to salvation. Thank you that I was in a church that taught me who Jesus really was, and I believed he was the Son of God. Thank you, Lord, that the gospel is simple. Because you know what? I can understand that Jesus died for our sins. That includes mine. Make it personal. He died for my sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Now stay with me. Watch this. Say, how did you understand that when you were 5 years old? Because, and by the way, this is why I thank God for children's ministries. There's a reason that We have primary church. There's a reason we have children's church. You know, I mean, you young ladies are doing a good job. You guys are hanging in there. But I understand, you know, when kids are little, you know, we have to take the Bible and we have to focus it into them on their age level so that they have an understanding. Thank God for a pastor's wife that herded us all into a back room on Wednesday night service. Because, you know what, I'd sit in church and a lot of times I wouldn't understand what but she took me back there and she broke it down so that I could understand it. I tell this from time to time, but one of the stories where I think the light bulb went off in my heart and really it gave me an understanding of what salvation was the story that my pastor's wife told me and about two Chinese twin brothers, identical twin brothers. One of them became a Christian, got saved. The other one was just a heathen, a pagan. I mean, he was a gangster. He was a rogue. And you know what? He was always getting in trouble. And the more the Christian brother tried to lead his brother to Christ, the more he'd mock at him and laugh and he wouldn't take it serious. But there was a day when that lost brother took his criminal activity a step too far and he got involved in a robbery and ended up murdering somebody. This Christian brother was at home. He was reading his Bible. He was preparing for bed, and all of a sudden he heard the back door slam, and he heard sirens in the background, and his lost brother came in, and he had blood all over his shirt. And he looked with a panicked look, and he takes off his bloody shirt, and he throws it on the floor, and he grabs a clean shirt and puts it on, and he runs out the front door. And that saved brother watched that happen and realized, my brother's done something horrible. He's killed somebody. And the police are on their way. And if they catch him and arrest him and put him to death, he's going to hell. So that identical twin brother takes his white shirt off and lays it down and picks up that bloody shirt and puts it on. And about the time he'd done that, here come the police busting through the door and they arrest him. And by the way, over in communist China, they don't have due process. I mean, you know what? By the next day, they had killed him. They had hung him. He was dead. And this brother that was a criminal, this brother that was a murderer, a day later he found out about it. Didn't you hear? Didn't you hear they caught the guy that murdered that? That they caught him. He thought, that's impossible. Yeah, they hung him. That's impossible. And he finally got all of the facts and found out that his brother, who had done nothing, listen, his brother didn't murder anybody, but he died for his brother. He who had a white shirt took it off and took the bloody shirt. And that's a perfect picture of what Jesus did. Jesus died for our sins. Remember we said the sins of man, the righteousness of God. How in the world can a sinful man go to attain the righteousness of God to be able to go to a perfect heaven? You can do all the good works you want to do for the rest of your life and it's not going to add up to the holiness of God. Because we still are sinners. But Jesus Christ came down from heaven. And you know what? He had that white robe of righteousness. And you know what, folks? He never committed one sin. And when he died on the cross, he wasn't dying for his sins because he didn't have any. Amen. He was dying for my sins and your sins. And the sins of all the world were placed on Jesus that day. And folks, listen to me. Watch it. Let's break it down. You remember the conviction of the Holy Spirit? You remember the drawing of the Father, that overwhelming love? I want you. I want to save you. I will save you. Do you remember understanding that Jesus was the Son of God, God the Son? Do you remember understanding the gospel? And the gospel is not just that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Jesus died for our sins. Amen. That's the part of the gospel. It's not the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's that he died for our sins. You understand that Jesus died for you? You understood that he paid for your sins and then was buried? And watch this. He rose again 3 days later. And he sits on the right hand of the Father. And he offers us the gift of eternal life. Bought, paid for, free. All you got to do is accept it. Here it is. So here's it is. Let's go. We're down to number five now. We're down to number five. What's the five things? Holy Spirit conviction. Drawing of the Father. An understanding of who Jesus is. An understanding of the gospel. Number five, a free decision. A free will decision to believe and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. A free will decision on your part to both believe and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're almost done. Look right up here. Preacher, I walked in here. I pretty much knew that I wasn't saved. I pretty much knew that if I died, it wasn't going to be a good thing. But while you were preaching, I felt the conviction of the Spirit of God. And I feel the drawing of the Father. And I know the Bible tells us that Jesus was the Messiah, the chosen one, the Holy One of God. And I understand now that he died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And he promised that if I'll call out to him, believe in him with all my heart, and call out to him and ask him to save me, he'll save me right now. Preacher, today, what I'd like to do is I walked in knowing I was over here, but I want to leave knowing that I'm over here and ready for heaven. Maybe you came in and you said, preacher, honestly, I just kind of been plagued by doubts. People talk about salvation. I think sometimes I understand it. Other times I'm not sure I understand it. Sometimes I think I'm saved. Other times I'm not sure I'm saved. But you know what? As you explained that, I realized that, you know what? There was a time in my life where I felt conviction and the drawing of the Father and understood who Jesus was and understood the gospel and called upon him. And you know what? I'm not going to let the devil ever let me down about it again, because I can know that I have eternal life. So I'm moving right over here. I don't have to get saved to do it. I was already saved. I just have some assurance now. The doubt's gone. There may be somebody that was in this middle ground say, well, I came in here pretty sure. I mean, if you'd asked me, I'd have said, well, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think I would go to heaven. But when you're going through those five things, you know, the truth is, until today, until this moment, all of those ingredients never came together. But they have this morning, preacher. And God has convicted me, the Spirit of God. The Father's drawing me. I know and believe who Jesus is. I understand the gospel, what Jesus did for me. And you know what? I want to get saved so I can move on over here. You know what I think would make God happy? No matter what group you were in when you came here, wouldn't it be good if every single person on the property of Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning would all get over here before we leave? And be able to say, I have a no-so salvation. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I ask you to be very, very still, very quiet. Don't talk to your neighbor. Don't bother your neighbor, because you never know who the Lord may be working on. I want to ask you to be very, if you will, please be very honest with yourself and honest with God. If you're here this morning and you don't know, preacher, I'll be honest, I don't have a no-so salvation. I can't say that I know 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven. And you're right, the Holy Spirit has been working in my heart, and the Father has been drawing me. And thank you for explaining one more time the gospel, and I really believe I do understand it. And not only that, I believe that by faith I choose to believe. I believe the Bible. I believe what it says. Preacher, I'd just like to be saved. If you're here this morning and you'd say, preacher, I'm not saved, but God is working in my heart. God is working in my heart this morning. We have people that are trained to take the Bible. And if you'll come forward during an invitation, if you're a lady, we've got ladies ready to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man or a young man, we've got men that'll do it. But let me say this. If you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're saved, don't leave in that condition. Preacher, everybody thinks I'm saved. It doesn't matter what everybody thinks. It matters what you know and what God knows. You know what? No matter what the devil's trying to tell you right now, you just tell him, get behind me, Satan, and you go take care of what you need to take care of.